And now that I've proved it, life has been spinning pretty fast for me these last couple of months, leading up to my son Jonathan's wedding, as the rhythm of my life, which already seemed to be moving at a brisk pace, accelerated to an even faster rate. And yet the busier I became, the less I seemed to be getting done. Have any of you ever experienced that? Following is a description of a day in my life, and perhaps yours as well. I decided to mow my lawn, but as I started for my garage where I keep my mower, I noticed the mail sitting on the kitchen table. So I thought, before I cut the grass, I will go through the mail. So I placed the garage door opener down and began to go through the mail. The first item was a bill, the second was junk mail. So I reached over to toss the junk mail in the trash can, and as I did, I noticed the trash can was full. So I decided to put the rest of the mail down while I first carried the trash out. But since that would take me outside, I thought I would at least take care of that one bill so I could leave it for the mailman. But when I opened my checkbook, I discovered there were no checks left. Now, the replacement checks I'd ordered were probably in the stack of mail from yesterday I had left out on the table in the family room. So I headed to the family room, only to notice my empty coffee cup from that morning sitting there on a table. Knowing that my dear wife Nadita hates it when I leave my coffee cup on that table, I headed back to the kitchen to place it in the dishwasher, only to see the TV remote I could not find last night sitting there on the kitchen table. So I put the coffee cup down, picked up the remote, and then paused to ask myself, what was it I was planning to do when I started this process? And at the end of the day, the lawn was not mowed, the bills were not paid, the trash can was still full, my empty coffee cup now had been moved from the family room table to the kitchen table, I still had not located the replacement checks, and I had lost my garage door opener. And when I tried to figure out how it was that nothing had gotten accomplished, I was baffled because I knew I had been busy. Can anybody here relate at all to that kind of experience? When life gets busy, we often end up feeling less and less productive. And this simply causes our stress levels to rise. And so many of us in today's world are dealing with stress levels that God never intended for us to live with. I was just thinking and doing my preparation for this message of what a tense era it is that we live in today. Just turn on your television to any newscast, and all you've heard the last few days was of the risk of a terrorist attack over the 4th of July celebrations. Not an attack in some far-off place, but right here at home. Perhaps right in the middle of your local fireworks. Or perhaps you had planned to spend the weekend soaking in the rays and cool water of the ocean. But as you packed your boogie boards and rafts, you could not get out of your mind the music from the movie Jaws. Then there is the endless assault of the weather-related disasters that seem to come at us once a month. Tornadoes and floods, pictures of entire towns underwater. Or how about the economic turmoil of wondering what will happen to your retirement funds if Greece fails to stay in the Eurozone? And then add to all of that the spiritual, cultural turmoil we face as we see many of the moral values that the church has held up for 2,000 years now being torn apart by a culture that views believing in biblical moral absolutes as hateful intolerance to be demeaned rather than lifted up. And by the way, as Pastor Seeger mentioned last week, we will be conducting a Sunday night dinner forum in September to address many of these issues. So I want you to be on the lookout for that event, and I want you to plan to be here for that. Well, then there are the personal challenges many of you face, marriages that seem to be hanging by a thread, families that seem to be hanging by a thread, a job that is hanging by a thread, health that is hanging on by a thread. I know we have many of our high schoolers in here today and our college, and you know, just that whole experience of maybe you just finishing up, finished middle school, and now the experience of going on to high school, or you just finished high school and you're heading off to college, and the party's excited about that, but there's an anxiousness as well. And those of you that are about to finish college or just did, what about, what's the job market going to be like now? We live in a world that is filled with anxiety-producing events. And then for some of you, there is a tension that exists just within you, where these kind of anxiety-producing thoughts that seem to grip you, even when life is good. So friends, my point this morning is a simple one. Living a life characterized by stress and tension and fear and anxiety is toxic. And it will damage you physically and emotionally and spiritually. The writer of Proverbs understood this when he wrote these words. Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man or a woman down. We just get worn down. And all we want is just to experience some peace. Well, I'm not going to tell you that you will find that peace if you define it as a world with no challenges, because the Bible teaches we live in a world that has been thrown into chaos by the collective sin of its inhabitants. In fact, the Bible teaches that all of creation is under the curse and groans for the day it will all be set right. Paul wrote this to the church in Rome. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Jesus himself said we should expect trouble in this world. His own words from the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. See, there are times when your world will be shaken. We all face it. Some of you are in the midst of those times right now. And Jesus does not just say we will face challenges. He says we are to respond to the tensions of living in this world, not with fear and anxiety, but with what? What does God tell us? But with joy. Think I'm kidding? James 1:2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. But how are we to do that? I mean, you will have tension in your life. That is a given. But it is what you do with it that is the test of whether you live a life characterized by peace or by worry. Do you take it on you, or do you give it to the Prince of Peace, to Jesus? That verse I just read from John just a minute ago, we didn't read the first part of that, where he said, you will face trouble. I have told you these things, so why? So that in me, you may have what? You may have what? Yeah. There is only one place that you will find ultimate peace in this world. And it is in the person of the one who came to this world as the Prince of Peace. It is when you give all the fear and anxiety and tension you feel to Christ, to Jesus, that you experience true peace. And there is a person in our church family who illustrates how to do this better than anything I could say. So I'm going to ask him to come up here right now. Buche. And I'm going to rearrange the stage a little bit, if I can. I'm going to give you that mic. And okay. Let's do this so we can look a little more comfortable. That's for you. Let me move this out of the way. And one for me, if I can navigate up here. Ah. Lee, don't worry. I didn't break anything. I didn't plug anything. All right. Buche, God bless you. You have been someone through the time I've known you that I don't know that I've ever seen you, that you don't have a smile on your face and that you don't just exude Jesus. And I just want the people here to hear a little bit about you. Share a little bit of your story. You were a missionary. How did that all come about?
I grew up in a Christian home in Indonesia, and I thought I knew everything about God. But I knew about God. I didn't know him. Until I was in high school, that's when God challenged me that I never had any personal relationship with Christ. And that's when I gave my heart to Christ. And soon after that, he gave a burden for a mission in my heart. But at first, I wanted to go to the mission field on my term, on my convenience, rather than on God's term. And it took a while before God changed that, until step by step, he led me to the island of New Guinea, Western New Guinea, and that's how he led me first through the medical school and then to the small mission hospital in the interior of New Guinea.
And it was there that God, where you met your wife, is that not correct?
That's right. I didn't have to look for a wife. God brought a lady from here to me over there.
And so you served there for how long?
I went there 83. Janet came in 85. We met there and we were married there in 86. And I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life there. But we both had cancer. And that's how God used to move us here in 2008.
Okay. And then Janet, she passed away.
After battling with cancer for 7 years, 2011, June, she went to glory with the Lord.
And now you've got your own little battle. Share with us a little bit about that and what God is teaching and showing you in that, your battle with cancer.
Yeah, earlier this year, during my annual heart checkup, one of my enzymes was high. Two possibilities, one from gallbladder, which I didn't have any symptoms, and the other is from bones. And then during my annual cancer checkup, it was still high. And I had kind of a soreness in my left chest. And so my doctor ordered a PET scan for me. And that's when it showed up a widespread of cancer in my bones. And actually, when my doctor told me the result, she cried. But the Lord gave opportunity for me just to pull up this glove from the examination room to share with her about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Glove is made to be used only by hand, nothing else. So is our body. We are made to be used only by God. But many times people think that they can fill their lives with many other things rather than God to satisfy them. It doesn't work. The only way is when we allow Jesus Christ to come and take over as Lord. And then he can use us wherever, whenever, whatever situation to glorify him. And he will fill us with his peace and joy that surpasses all understanding.
And so share with us a little bit of some of the ways he's been filling you with that peace and joy and using you in the midst of all of this.
Yeah, that's important lesson too, that when the doctor gave me that news, a thought came from the Lord, reminded me that when God has written your name in heaven because you have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, it's a win-win situation. Whatever happened to you, the worst thing that could happen to you is you will go to heaven. So, every single moment of our life is a moment to worship and celebrate God. And that opened up many opportunities. I can talk with people now and say, "Hi, I have cancer in my bone. What's your problem?" And God opened up that opportunity. I never had that before. God is the best event organizer. And when we are available, He's going to bring people, and He's going to bring you to the people that He already prepared to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. A few weeks after I heard that news about my cancer, the Lord brought a young guy from Ghana. And with a simple illustration like this, he was ready, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about being used. I think many of us, having the kind of news you have, you've just been through chemotherapy, I would be thinking, I'm not going far from my house anytime soon. But you're leaving in another week, right, with the youth group. Tommy's back there. You guys are heading down to Gary, West Virginia, and you're going with them. Share a little bit about that and just what God's been doing in your previous trips to Gary and what you're looking for you and Tommy and Sarah and the youth group to do this time.
Yeah, it's quite a challenge in Gary. That's the poorest county place in the United States. Many churches have come there to help whatever they can. Lots of physical needs. But the biggest need is a spiritual need. 2 years ago when we went there, the Lord gave Tommy a privilege in baptizing two young men who made decisions for Christ. And then later on, I found out that one of them, the youngest one, his name is Cody, nobody ever discipled him. And so last year, fall, I made several trips in the fall and then in the spring too, just to spend time with Cody in the Word. And he was just like a sponge. I found out I had to start from zero because he didn't know any books in the Bible where it is, either in the Old Testament or New Testament. But he was so teachable and so open, and we just had a good time in the riches of the Word there. And last time in April when we were there, Saturday after lunch, we came back to the area, and we were outside talking with the Jack, the one who ran the ministry, and there's a young guy running a motorbike, and Jack called him, "Landon, come here, I want you to meet my friend." So we start talking, and I asked him what he wants to do or be, and he said he wanted to be a physical therapist. And the Lord reminded my heart, don't waste time in formalities. Just share the good news, the gospel. So I shared with him, and he thought that he's good enough, so he can go to heaven too. But when he was confronted with the holiness of God, the Holy Spirit convicted him that he needs a Savior. And he's ready. And he gave his heart to Christ right there. And that's another blessing that many people don't realize. God already works in the hearts of people. Just need somebody just to come and share. And I learned that to share the gospel is not how you lead others to Christ, but it's rather that God is reaching out to them through you.
Amen. So we want to be praying as they get ready to go next week to Gary, Buche and Tommy and all. And Buche, I just want to thank you for sharing about, see, this man, this is peace. Because he really believes in his heart. As Paul said, the same thing about it's a win-win, right? I mean, if the Roman authorities kill me, I'm sent to a gazillion years with Jesus in heaven, of peace and joy and happiness. And if they don't do that, I get to stay here and keep sharing about that Jesus, right? And so that's where the peace comes. And I'm going to pray for you, Buche. And then you have a song that God gave you last night that you're going to lead the congregation and worship. But let me pray with you first. Can I do that? Precious Lord, we're so thankful for this man. Lord, thankful for just his love for you, Lord, that just is just so evident on his face and his mannerisms. And Lord, in every interaction that I know that I've had with him and that so many in this church have had with him over the years. And Lord, I just pray for your healing of him, Lord, because we want to co-partner with him for some more years. And so, Lord, I pray that you might heal him. And Lord, I know in the midst of all, you will continue to use him in such a mighty way. And I just pray that his heart and the peace that he has, even in the midst of some challenging times, can be something that all of us can learn from and can strive for, and to just realize that the peace comes only from the Prince of Peace, only from you. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You want to lead us in a song?
Yeah.
I got that together.
This is just simple and short expression of worship and praise that God put in my heart last night. So I just want to share it with you. Basically, Lord, I worship you. And I praise you and I love you. Simple things.
You know, Jesus himself said these words about worry. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, 25 and 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father, he feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Said the robin to the sparrow, what I'd really like to know is why those anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Well, said the sparrow to the robin, I guess that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such that cares for you and me. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, Colossians 3, 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. The word Paul uses here for rule is like that of an umpire in baseball today. Because the umpire is the one who has the final say on any disputed question on the baseball field. And in much the same way, Paul is saying the peace of Christ should have the final word on any dispute in your heart between anxiety and peace. So are you living with the peace of Christ ruling in your heart? As the worship team comes forward now, they're going to lead us in a song, Above All. And as they do, as we sing this, are we going to sing this together? Is this a worship for everyone? Or however? Okay. I want you to take the tensions, whatever tensions and anxious thoughts you came in here with, or they might be with you now, I want you to place them at the foot of the cross. That same cross that in a manner of speaking you will be coming to when you come forward to take communion in just a few moments.